Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review, who is also the author of the soon-to-be-released book, The Weed Agency. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for you, as usual, today. And, Jim, yesterday our good martini was the fact that the House of Representatives, with a little bit of help from Democrats, agreed to hold Lois Lerner in contempt on Wednesday. They also, by a more bipartisan vote, referred the case over to the Justice Department for a special prosecutor. In a related story, just right after this vote happened, all of a sudden the IRS has decided, you know what? Turns out we can turn over all those emails that the House investigators have been asking for on Lois Lerner's communications with other people within the agency, other people within the government, in terms of the targeting of Tea Party and other conservative organizations going back to the early days of the Obama administration. So, Jim, we'll see whether they hand them all over and how much we learn from these things. But apparently, when you do carry a big stick, it sometimes brings some results.
It's kind of strange that they would object to turning over any of this information. When you are a federal government employee, you are typing on a computer that was provided to you by U.S. taxpayers. Chances are the people on the other end of that email are also working on government computers provided at the expense of U.S. taxpayers. You are working in an office paid for by U.S. taxpayers. All of this means that it is not your property. It is the taxpayer's property, and you cannot withhold it from Congress. You cannot withhold it from FOIA requests, barring some really valid reason. And those valid reasons basically consist of national security, you know, something that we cannot publicly disclose, putting people's lives at risk, or something that involves somebody's very personal information, social security numbers, and put them at risk for identity theft. In, you know, documents and emails and things going on at the IRS, it's conceivable there'd be some personal information in there that you would not necessarily wanting being either not wanting released to the Congress or you wouldn't want released to the public at large. They have these things called Sharpies. They have these things you just cross out and redact the parts that involve that, and you turn over the rest of it. And as we've seen in this matter, as we've seen in the matter of the Benghazi emails and things like that, this administration, even much more than previous administrations, you can argue this is a long, you know, bipartisan practice, but basically the idea of classifying things and declaring national security and other protections for information that isn't really a national security priority, but is perhaps embarrassing, is the excuse they put up there. I'm glad to see they're finally fighting it back against this. And my guess is we will find something of interest to this. We all recall Lois Lerner saying in one of her messages that she was thinking of joining to go work the Obama campaign. Now, she may have been joking. I think a lot of people, you know, the reaction suggests that maybe she wasn't joking. Certainly nobody found it outlandish and kind of suggested that you have somebody who's a diehard partisan running enforcement of a very key part of the tax code. So good to see this progress on this. And my suspicion is we'll get at least one revealing or significant statement out of this next batch of documents.
All right, on to the bad martini now. And of course, Mitt Romney was the Republican presidential nominee in 2012. I think if you and I had to vote all over again, we wouldn't have any trouble pulling the lever for Mitt Romney again. However, Mitt Romney, if he really harbored any secret ambitions towards running in 2016, which I really don't think he did, probably they all got the nail in the coffin today with his appearance on Morning Joe and Mitt Romney explaining how he differs from his party on one critical issue that the president currently is championing.
I part company with many of the conservatives in my party on the issue of the minimum wage. I think we ought to raise it because, frankly, our party is all about more jobs and better pay. And I think communicating that is important to us.
Jim, I don't think either of us would suggest that Mitt Romney would not be a better steward of the economy than Barack Obama. But the fact that he is buying into this when we've discussed over and over how market forces work with wages and business and bottom lines and that sort of thing to jump on this bandwagon is not encouraging.
Raising the minimum wage is one of those ideas that always polls very, very well. People don't necessarily think through the consequences of it. We saw the report indicating that possibly, you know, a million jobs would end up being lost for it because of this. At some, we have a minimum wage in this country. Maybe it's worth it. Maybe it's worth it to slow down hiring in minimum wage jobs in order to give a raise to those who currently have them or who won't get laid off because of this change. And I get the political pressures on lawmakers. You don't want to respond to a, hey, let's help out some people who aren't making much money with a very complicated economic argument. However, what's particularly frustrating about this, Greg, is that, look, that's the very same interview. Mitt Romney has said he's not running for president again. No one really is clamoring for it. We all feel very fondly of the governor, but it's time for him to ride off into the sunset and live happily with Ann and his boys and find other things to do with his life. So he's not running again. He's not in any office. He's not going to get voted out of any office. And he's not willing to take the difficult stand. So if Mitt Romney's not willing to do it, it's going to be a lot tougher for every other Republican who faces re-election in 2014 to do it. And what's more, now the Democrats have this very convenient, I think, arguably quite compelling talking point. Say, like, even Mitt Romney thinks we should raise the minimum wage. Oh, by the way, you know, Republicans spent all of 2011 and 2012 telling you how smart this guy was and how savvy he was on matters of economics. And if he thinks it's a good idea, why are Republicans thinking he's not so smart now? The other possibility is that, you know, even Mitt Romney, who once described himself as a severe conservative, thinks that there should be a raise hike in the minimum wage, and maybe you're seeing the emergence of a bipartisan agreement on this sort of thing. I think those of some of us are a little more wary about this, seeing some unforeseen consequences, but, you know, maybe the tide and the kind of the undertow for this is just getting too strong.
On to the crazy martini now, and this is probably one of the least crazy martinis we've had in a while. I think a lot of folks on the right would consider most of these developments good, but there's one here that's an interesting wrinkle that we'll talk about. This is coming from Politico. Virtually every Republican leader agrees that the 20 GOP debates in the last presidential primary season damaged Mitt Romney and briefly made frontrunners out of eventual flameouts like Herman Cain and Newt Gingrich. So essentially, a group of RNC members under the control of Chairman Reince Priebus will choose the timing and location and media partners of the 2015-2016 Republican primary debates. They will insist that conservative panelists join moderators from mainstream media. That's good point number one. And as they said, they'll probably cut them in half. There were 20. That's down to 10 if you space them out well. That won't be debate overload. And here's the weird part, though. To make it stick, the plan would crack down on candidates who participate in debates that aren't sanctioned by the party by barring them from the ones that are. So, Jim, you're going to get a lot of blowback from the quote-unquote grassroots and Tea Party groups saying this is meant to boost up those who already have deep pockets and great name recognition. It's going to be a lot harder for people to get their message out potentially. So overall, I think people are going to like the conservative panelists with mainstream media outlets and fewer debates, but there could be an interesting fight over what the penalty is if you participate in something outside of what the RNC approves.
Since the moment Reince Priebus started talking about this, I thought there was a lot of strong arguments for this approach. One of the things is that if you want to limit the number of debates, how do you enforce that? It's not like the RNC has its own SWAT team that it can deploy. Say, you media organization, shut down that debate right now. You know, the only leverage they have is through the delegate process, in which they can say to a candidate, if you participate in a debate that we have not authorized, we're going to penalize you in terms of the delegates. And they put this forth before the whole RNC. The whole RNC appears to be, or at least the majority of the RNC, is pretty supportive of this. I'd be curious if there is a broad consensus that there were too many debates in the past couple cycles. I think there is. I think it's safe to say that, look, the reason a debate is meaningful is that there aren't that many of them. If you go on a weekly basis, the opportunity for seeing something significant in each one is lessened. It's why every NFL football game is a big deal, because there's only 16 of them. Professional baseball games are less exciting because there's 162 of them. You know, that the more, if you want them to be more meaningful, you need fewer of them. I think 10 is a good number. I think it gives time for somebody to build up support. I think, you know, if you there's plenty of ability to do this, you know, once or twice a month. I don't think there's a need to do them on this nearly weekly basis like we had for a while. And in terms of, you know, serious candidates, look, a presidential campaign is not just a large-scale book tour. I'm very skeptical of anyone who has not been elected to some statewide office myself. And in fact, I think you really should be doing two terms in something before you start running for president of the United States. This is not an entry-level position, and I think the experience of Obama is a very strong indicator of this. Back then, he said, oh, you know, Donald Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney are very experienced, and look what they did. Well, now we have a whole slew of mistakes to point to about somebody who didn't have a lot of experience. So I think there's nothing wrong with saying, look, you got to be beyond 1% in the polls or some sort of little, you know, level like that on the ballot in a significant number of states and, you know, running a serious campaign. This can't be, I want a gig with Fox News when all this is said and done. This is too important for us. So I'm generally supportive of this. We can quibble about where exactly the thresholds we want to have this. should we have 12 debates instead of 10 or something? But I think generally this is something necessary to instill a certain amount of discipline to a process that is at this point completely in the hands of control of the media that is generally not terribly friendly to Republicans.
Overall, again, 2 out of 3 I think are very good. Limiting debates is good and having more Republican-friendly questions coming from some of the moderators, although a mix is always good because whoever wins the nomination is going to get tough questions down the road and throughout the campaign season. The question is you know, if the RNC works with major media outlets and maybe like the Heritage Foundation and some other prominent conservative think tanks, all of a sudden on the side, the Des Moines Chamber of Commerce wants to have a round table and 2 or 3 of the many candidates show up. Should they be kicked out of the next debate? I just don't know if a lot of people are going to like that idea.
The first thing would be to have every candidate saying, look, here are our 10 debates. Does anyone feel like this isn't enough? And of course, the people who will say this isn't enough are the ones who are at 1% or less, who need every opportunity they can to get there. And that's why you have, you know, I think at one point there was some debate for the Democrats in 2008 that was not televised. It was on radio somewhere. And of course, it was very small scale. And you didn't have any of the big names. You didn't have Hillary, you didn't have Edwards, and you didn't have Obama, but everybody else showed up. And that was kind of a good indicator of, at that point, you've got too many debates, that at some point you don't need that many. And so in terms of saying, you know, maybe for each one you participate in that you're not supposed to, you're out for that one, but you can return the next week. It'd be like, you know, in a way, returning the RNC chairman, Reince Priebus, into the NFL commission. You start finding people and just say, look, you know what, Rand Paul, that was a really brutal hit you put on Christie, and I'm sitting you out for a week or something like that. Or, you know, a $1,500 fine for the hit that Ted Cruz put on Bobby Jindal or something like that. So I don't know. We'll see how that shakes out. But I think that Priebus and company have the right idea in this area. And I think, you know, we got to give them a little bit of leeway in trying to implement a new system, and we can adjust it as we go along.
Yeah, very interesting. Could be a little infighting along the way. I think everybody agrees we don't want Roger Goodell to be the next RNC chairman. Jim, have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you Monday.
See you Monday, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be sure to join us again on Monday for the next 3 Martini Lunch. Have a great weekend and a great Mother's Day.